God bless you, and thank you for listening to the broadcast of the Central Baptist Church in Ponca City, Oklahoma. Today is the second day of May, 2010, and you're listening to our Sunday evening teen night broadcast. Special music is provided by a duet from Miss Sierra Mills and Miss Carissa Reyes. And our sermon is taught by Dan Patrick. It is entitled, Consider Your Ways. The entire congregation of Central Baptist Church joins me in saying to you, wherever you are listening in the world, Jesus loves you, and so do we. Thanks again for listening.
Good singing. That was good. Turn with me, if you would, to Daniel chapter 5 in your Bibles tonight. Daniel chapter 5. I want to thank Brother Lynn for giving me the opportunity to preach in front of you people, and I pray that I can be a blessing to you. Daniel chapter 5. And if you would, stand with me for the reading of God's Word. We'll start reading in verse 1 of Daniel chapter 5. Verse 1 says, Belshazzar, the king, made a great feast to 1,000 of his lords and drank wine before 1,000. Belshazzar, whilst he tasted the wine, commanded to bring the golden and silver vessels which his father Nebuchadnezzar had taken out of the temple, which was in Jerusalem, that the king and his princes, his wives, and his concubines might drink therein. When they brought the golden vessels that were taken out of the temple of the house of God, which was at Jerusalem, and the king and his princes, his wives, and the concubines drank in them. They drank wine and praised the gods of gold and of silver and of brass, of iron, of wood, of stone. In the same hour came forth the fingers of a man's hand and wrote over against the candlestick upon the plaster of the wall of the king's palace. And the king saw the part of the hand that wrote. Then the king's countenance was changed, and his thoughts troubled him, so that the joints of his loins were loosed, and his knees smote one against another. Skip on down to verse 13. Then was Daniel brought in before the king. And the king spake and said unto Daniel, Art thou that Daniel which art of the children of the captivity of Judah, whom the king my father brought out of Jewry? I have even heard of thee, that the spirit of the gods is in thee, and that light and understanding and excellent wisdom is found in thee. And now the wise men, the astrologers, have been brought in before me, that they should read this writing, and make known unto me the interpretation thereof, but they could not show the interpretation of the thing. And I have heard of thee, that thou canst make interpretations and dissolve doubts. Now if thou canst read the writing, and make known to me the interpretation thereof, thou shalt be clothed with scarlet, and have a chain of gold about thy neck, and shalt be the third ruler in the kingdom. Then Daniel answered and said before the king, Let thy gifts be to thyself, and give thy rewards to another. Yet I will read the writing unto the king, and make known to him the interpretation. And he reads us that interpretation in verse 25. It says, And this is the writing that was written, Mene, Mene, Tekel, Epharsin. This is the interpretation of the thing. Mene, God hath numbered thy kingdom and finished it. Tekel, thou art weighed in the balances and art found wanting. Perez, thy kingdom is divided and given to Medes and Persians. And now we just have a few more verses to read in Haggai. The book of Haggai, chapter 1. I promise I won't make you guys stand much longer. The book of Haggai, chapter 1, and we will begin in verse 2. Haggai, chapter 1. It says in verse 2, Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, This people say, The time is not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. Then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, Is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses, and this house lie waste? Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, Consider your ways. Ye have sown much, and bring in little. Ye eat, but ye have not enough. Ye drink, but ye are not filled with drink. Ye clothe you, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to put it into a bag with holes. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, Consider your ways. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you tonight for giving me a message to speak, Lord. I thank you for this great opportunity, Lord, to present your word, Lord. I pray that you would use me as a vessel, Lord, that the words that I say would not be of myself and of my own, Lord, but that they would be of you and that you could use me, Father, to give the message you want to give. I pray that all that's done would be in your desire, Lord, and I pray that you'd bless the results, Father, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, our short passage that we read in Haggai, the Lord says to this people that he wanted the people to build the house of the Lord. They were in these very nice houses of theirs. They were dwelling in them and just resting and having a good old time. But God says, consider your ways. I want you to build the house of the Lord. And they didn't. They just kept doing their own thing and doing whatever they wanted. They didn't consider the Lord. In both of these passages, people forgot to consider different things. They forgot to consider the Lord. They forgot to consider what the Lord does when you don't listen to him. Many people in America failed to consider several very, very important things. And I want to go over a few of those tonight. Sadly, one of the most common things that people forget to consider is the Lord. People forget to consider the Lord. Many people that live in this world just go about their business and do not get concerned with the things of God. They get all caught up in working a job and getting their life worked out the way they want and getting, you know, wrapped up in the routine of the world, and they forget to consider the Lord. Americans today act like they have no time for God. Americans say, I don't need God. I'm fine without Him. Now, there's many that say they believe in God. Technically, the stat is that 70% of America is Christian. I don't believe that in the least, but that's what the stat says. But it's one thing to say you believe in God, and it's a much different thing to act upon it. If you ever get to the point where you do not consider the Lord, you are in trouble. The Lord is very much highly important in our lives. Without the Lord, we are nothing. Without the Lord in our lives, we can't do anything. Sure, we can have a life, but it's not going to be what it should. This was Belshazzar's problem, one of his problems. He did this very thing. He did not consider the Lord. He was so caught up in his great position, all of his wealth, all of his great status in the community, that he never considered the Lord. He never considered serving the one true God. He'd much rather serve all of his idols and sin and do wickedness before the Lord. But little did he know that that very night, while he was involved in all this wickedness and sin, his soul would be required of him. And that very night, he was executed. We look back, if you go back to Daniel 5, and you look at verse 27, the Lord said, "Thou art weighed in the balances and art found wanting." That would be a very, very scary statement. If I was Belshazzar in this situation, to hear that spoken to me directly from the Lord would just scare me to death. All the power of the Lord, and he says, you have come up wanting. In your life, you have not done what you should have done. And the all-powerful creator of the universe says, you have come up wanting. That is a scary thought for me. But Belshazzar did not consider the scales of God. That's one thing that many people forget to consider, is the scales of God. Everyone will be weighed in God's balances. Belshazzar never considered those balances. You cannot get into heaven unless your balances are weighed according to God's measurement. So how do we get our balances to not come up wanting as Belshazzar did? His balances obviously were not in the right place according to the Lord. How do we get our balances to where they are level according to what God says? Well, in our own power, there is no way to balance our balances, to have the scales level. There is no way on our own power. But the Lord knew that, and he sent someone to help. And that man is Jesus Christ, the only one who can help, the only one who can balance the scales. With our own power, with all the good deeds we could ever do, we could never outweigh the weight of sin because it is too heavy. It's just way too overpowering. But Jesus outweighs the weight of sin. He can balance the balances so that we can get into heaven. Belshazzar never had considered this. It never crossed his mind about the balances of God. And the Lord was tired of it. No matter how many good works we do, we can never outweigh the weight of sin. Jesus is the only one. But now, through our great Redeemer Jesus Christ, we all can have a balanced scale. And all that are saved do have a balanced scale according to the Lord. Another thing that many people fail to consider is the sting of sin. People forget that sin is poisonous to the body. Sin corrupts the mind, corrupts the soul, and corrupts the body. With sin, the mind gets corrupted with wickedness. With sin, the body decays over time, and the body gets sick and has diseases and dies. With sin, the soul is destined for eternal damnation in hell. That's the punishment that sin gives to us. Sin is horrible. Sin is very poisonous. God gives us a great picture of sin and its poison in His Word. If you would turn with me to the book of Numbers. Numbers chapter 21. Numbers chapter 21. And we'll begin reading in verse 5. Numbers chapter 21, verse 5. Verse 5 starts out, "And the people spake against God and against Moses, wherefore have ye brought us out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loatheth this light bread. And the Lord sent fiery serpents among them, among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. Therefore, the people came to Moses and said, We have sinned, and we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpents from us. And Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said unto Moses, Make thee a fiery serpent, and set it upon a pole, and it shall come to pass that everyone that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live. And Moses made a serpent of brass and put it upon a pole. And it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent, he lived." This is a fantastic illustration that the Lord has given to us about how sin affects our lives. To me, I can picture this story vividly. And after all these people are moaning and groaning with pain out of these poisonous disease that the snake has given them, they're going to die very shortly. And they realize they were wrong. Some of them do, while others are still trapped in their old ways. Moses, after getting this message from the Lord, goes around to all the people saying, Hey, look, okay. I made this pole, this brass pole and this snake on it. And if you just look, you can live. That's all you have to do is look at it. If you believe enough to look at this pole, you can live. And so I can picture Moses going around to different parts of the tents, going into people's tents and say, okay, look, you're going to die. You're going to die. Look, you're all swollen up. You're shriveling up. You're going to die. If you want to live, look at this pole, this brass snake, and you will live. That's what the Lord says. And some would say, oh, you're crazy, Moses. I'm going to die. I'm all swollen. What is looking at a brass snake going to do? I'm going to die anyways, Moses. And he'd go to others and he'd say, look, do you want to live? You're going to die, aren't you? Yes. You want to live? Yes, I do. What can I do? I've put up this staff that the Lord, I've put up this brass snake that the Lord wanted me to put up. And if you would just look at it, the Lord says, you will be healed instantly. And so they go, okay. And they go outside and they look at it. And instantaneously, the disease is gone. That disease represents sin. And that brass snake represents Jesus. If we believe enough to accept Jesus as our Savior, to believe what He did on the cross and that actually saves us, if we believe that and accept Him as our Savior, instantaneously, the disease is gone. The disease of sin that should cause us to be in hell in a penalty forever and ever and ever and be in torture state, yet the Lord has taken that punishment away from us. Jesus took that torment. Jesus paid the debt, and now all we have to do is believe, and the disease is gone. Belshazzar never considered the sting of sin. You see, sin has consequences. People forget that. People want to avoid it as they're doing sin because they're having fun and they're having a good old time, and they say, oh, that won't happen to me. That'll happen to other people, but I think I can get away with it. It'll be fine. And they get away with it once. And they say, see, look, nothing happened. But if you get away with it once, good. If you can get away with it twice, that's great. But eventually, that'll catch up to you. It will. Sin has consequences. Whether it happens instantly or much later on in life, there is consequences for every single sin. Belshazzar did not consider this at all. Belshazzar was deep in sin. He drank out of the cups out of the Lord's house with wine and with all of his concubines and his wives and worshipped idols right there. Just rampant with wickedness. Everything the Lord didn't want him to do, he was doing. And he was just rampant with wickedness. And eventually the Lord just said, okay, that's it. That's enough, Belshazzar. I'm tired of this. Your time's up. And he said, you've been weighing the balances, you've come up wanting. And that very night, he was executed. You say, well, God would never do that to me. I doubt it. I know God. I mean, I don't think so. You don't know that. You don't know that. You don't have that promise from the Lord. God is in control, and he can do whatever he wants to punish you for that sin. It's best not to test it. I mean, with all the power God has, I wouldn't test it. I mean, sure, you might get away with it, but eventually that's going to catch up to you. So, another thing people fail to consider is this supernatural power that God has. God has infinite power. It is immeasurable. And it is not to be underestimated. We all love to think of the great story of creation and how powerful God was when he made the whole earth in just 6 short days. And then the 7th day he rested. You say, well, I guess he rested because he's really tired, right? I mean, after all this work, I mean, the whole universe in 6 days. Man, I'd be tired. I know, yeah, you'd think. But with all of God's great power, no, that's not the case. He did that. He rested on the 7th day for an example for us, to show us how a week is laid out, and that we're supposed to rest on the day for church. The Lord did that for our example. But if the Lord wanted to, he could have easily, instantaneously made the universe. He did it out over 6 days. He could have done it any other way. God has infinite power. God can do impossible things. Limitless power. Everyone has dreams and wishes. If you thought in your head right now, you can picture things you wish would happen, you want to happen, you desire, a dream, a wish, something you hope for, something you want. And you say, this is too far stretched. This could never happen. I would love for this to happen. I pray for this to happen. I pray for this person to heal. I pray for this situation to work out. And you say, but I don't think so. I just don't know how it could ever work out. God can work it out. Impossible situations are not impossible with God. I love Mark 10:27. And in this verse, Jesus reminds us, with men, it is impossible. You say, I can't do it. There's no way I can figure this out. I don't see how it's going to be possible. And you're right. With men, it is impossible. But not with God. For with God, all things are possible. What a great truth. I love that verse. All things are possible with God. You know, if it wasn't for God, I couldn't even breathe. If it wasn't for God, we wouldn't even be here. I mean, God's the reason we're here. Everything we're able to do comes from God's power. You know, when people run across a problem, the sad thing in America today is that they will try doctors and physicians and psychiatrists and all these different things and medications trying to fix their problem. And they go to friends, and they go to family, and they say, oh, what can I do? And then as a last resort, if they're just totally hopeless, I guess I'll try this religious stuff and go to church, see what happens. You know, this is totally backwards, though. The Lord has infinite power. He can solve any problem. So he's the first one we ought to go to. That makes sense to me. Instantaneously, he can fix any problem for you. If it's his will, he'll do it. God's power is not like any other power. When you're talking about God's power, where do you even start? It's so limitless. Our brains cannot even comprehend. God is so vast. It's so far above, there's no way we can even comprehend it. Another thing that people fail to consider is the scheme of the enemy. The devil has schemed people, trying to get them to fall, for thousands of years, and is very practiced in this art of scheming and deceiving. He is a deceiver and wants to ruin your life. That's the devil's plan. Real nice guy. Satan is out to destroy you. If he can't have your soul, if you are already a Christian, he at least wants to make you miserable. So he'll do whatever he can. The devil is also very smart. People underestimate the devil sometimes. But the devil is very smart and practiced in his ways of deceiving. But luckily, the Lord's a lot smarter than he is. The Bible says in 1 Peter 5:8, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour." We need to trust God to win our battles over Satan. Daily, the devil will tempt us to sin. He never takes a vacation. He never takes a rest. He never just gives it a break for a while. Sadly, the devil is always hounding us, trying to get us to fall in somewhere or another. Just little things starting out, it says, you know, prick you with little itty-bitty things, trying to get you to fall. But luckily, the Lord never rests either. The Lord is always there. He is always there to comfort and guide us. He is always there to back us up. The Lord will never leave us nor forsake us. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, "There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way for you to bear it." Or also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. I come across this great verse in John 14, verse 18. Jesus says, "I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you." That's just a great verse. Great verse showing how Jesus comes to us and comforts us. The Lord really will never leave us nor forsake us. We need to trust the Lord to get these victories over Satan. I love the great famous story of David and Goliath. Everybody's heard of this story, whether you're, you know, of the world or of this church or anybody, has probably heard of this story. Very, very famous story. You have young David, who had great, great faith. Odds were against him. He was going up a 9-foot giant, a huge, great warrior, very practiced and experienced. Here was young David, a teenager, didn't have all that much experience, didn't have any weapons, didn't have any armor. All he had was trust and faith in the Lord. And that was plenty. Because God is so much stronger than any battle we can come across. David just trusted in his God. He didn't know what the outcome would be. He just knew if he trusted in the Lord, everything's going to be all right. So he went up to that huge giant where there's a little slingshot, and a little rock in it. Swung it around, chunked it at him, hit him right in the forehead. You'd think that would hurt, but I wouldn't think it'd knock a huge giant out. But it knocked him cold. He fell to the ground. David picked up his sword and cut his head off. Slew him. The Lord gave him that victory. Impossible odds. He won with ease because of the Lord. He didn't have to do much, did he? Threw a little slingshot rock at him. Happened to hit him straight dead in the forehead. Knocked him out. Who would have figured that? If you were watching the scenario, you're thinking, "Ooh, David's dead." But no. One little rock smacked him in the head, he's gone. That's the power of God. God still works miracles today. I think people forget that. Although they're not like the great miracles that have happened in the Bible, where just huge flames come up, or waters turn to wine, or just amazing, obvious things like that, that are just impossible situations, the Lord still does miracles today. I'm sure we've all heard of stories, or even maybe some of us have gotten to experience an issue where a doctor would come up to a family member and say, "There's no way they're going to make it. They're going to die in a matter of days." And the doctor's just bringing the sad news. And the family's grieved and they're upset, but they have trust in the Lord. And they go to God and they pray. And they say, "Lord, we know that you can heal him. We know that you can heal them. We know that you can heal her in this situation, and that you can fix it if it is your will." And the Lord does. And you go to the doctor and you say, "What happened?" He said, "I don't know. They should have died. I have no way to explain it." The Lord. God can do impossible things. The impossible is possible. There is nothing that is impossible when you're dealing with a great God like ours. Lastly, people fail to consider what happens when they die. What happens when they die? A lot of people come to this church and have rarely even considered that. Nobody wants to think about that. That's a scary thought. Death? Nobody likes that. What happens when you die? Well, the Bible says there's only two places you can go, and that is heaven or hell. While the world will come up with a lot of other solutions, those are factually the only two ways. In John chapter 3, if you turn there, John chapter 3, one of the greatest chapters about salvation. John chapter 3. We'll start out in verse 1 of John chapter 3. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of water and of spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit. Jesus is saying here, Nicodemus, you need to be born again. He doesn't understand. But God says, you are born physically. We know that. You're born. Here you are. But your spirit's dead. Your spirit's dead. You need to be born spiritually. Jesus is trying to explain this to him. In verse 14, Jesus brings up the great story that we read in Numbers 21. Jesus says, And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. As Christians, we have eternal security. If you are saved, you know where you're going. But if you're not saved, you also know where you're going. If you know that you're not saved, you know where you're going. From what I've told you, there's only two places you can go, and that is heaven or hell. But Jesus has given us a free opportunity. All we have to do is believe on that brass serpent. Believe on Jesus Christ and that disease of sin that causes us to have to pay and go to hell is taken away. It's taken away instantly because Jesus paid for that. And we accept him as our payment. The Lord has given us the greatest gift that he ever could. He gave us his own son. He gave us his own son to die on the cross for us and take that disease away. He considered us. He loved us more than anybody else. He considered us and he asked us to consider him and to consider our ways. Let's pray. Dear Father, I thank you so much for this message that you've given me, Lord. I pray that you would bless the results of it, Father, and that you'd bless the hearts, Lord, that your will be done in this invitation, and that you would speak to whoever you feel fit, Lord. I pray that you would have your will tonight, Lord, and that all things that were done were in your will. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
You have been listening to the broadcast of the Central Baptist Church in Ponca City, Oklahoma, with our special teen night speaker, Dan Patrick. If you ever find yourself in Ponca City, we invite you to stop and visit. We're just 1 mile north of the city at the intersection of Highway 77 and Coleman Road. We'd like a chance to get to know you. But until that time, God bless you, have a great week, and thanks again for listening.